Amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. We are going to go right there, and the Lord's going to share with us the preaching moment, and we're going to praise God all the way. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. God bless you, beginning at verse 1. Those of you that have your tablets, I know you're there. If you have an old school Bible, you're on your way, and you'll be there most directly, as Grandma would say. Ephesians 4, and 1 begin. New Living Translation says, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Always keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourselves together with peace. We are all one body. We have the same spirit. We have all been called to the same glorious future. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there is only one God and Father, who is over us all and in us all and living through us all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. Amen." God bless you. You may be seated in the awesome presence of God. This is the next phase in our learning lesson of cultivating the character of the Christian church as the post-Calvary church exists. And we are now looking at possession and productivity. Amen. God bless you, ushers. Thank you. We've looked at performance. We've looked at purpose. We've looked at position. We've looked at praise. Now we want to look at what we got and how to make it work. Look at your neighbor and say, make it work.
Make it work.
Amen. Amen. God, we just thank you so much for this day. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to share with the people of God the good news from the gospel of Jesus the Christ. God, we pray even now that you would open eyes and ears afresh. Pray, God, that you would make this room saturated and ready, that it would receive and the people would go out from this place rejoicing and telling the dying world of the living Christ. Oh, God, forgive us of our sins. Have mercy on us, we pray. And God, we ask now that you would give us the strength to fight the good fight, that we can run our course and finish at the end. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. 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 Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got something there. Amen. Productivity based on possession. God has given each of us a gift. Amen. All right, I thought you'd say amen. I just told you to tell your neighbor. God, everybody's got something. Everybody's got something. And everybody has something that is kingdom necessary to build the kingdom of God. Each and every one of you are strategically positioned on earth that you would do a work for the kingdom of God. Even when God relocates you, when God changes your zip code, when God gives you a new address, God gives you a new phone number, it's needful that you still keep up the work of God. Amen. Wherever you go, wherever you are, you can still be servants of the Most High God. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I've got a traveling ministry. Amen. No, and don't sit by folk who don't like to talk either. You have to go because you've been called to go. You've been sent by God, and God didn't send you out empty-handed. God has given us all that we need, all that we could think, or imagine, so that we can do a greater work to the glory of God. Amen. Last week we were talking about performance and how we go about this. God is looking at us every day of our lives and saying, what are you waiting for? Why are you standing around? Remember, we talked about it last week. When the Spirit of the Lord said, why are y'all standing here? Go, it's time, it's time. Because the work is waiting for you. There are people all over this land, all over the nation, all over the world, even in the universe, that are waiting to hear about our Christ. They're waiting to hear about our God. They're waiting to hear our testimonies. They're waiting to see the light. They're waiting to taste the flavor of our salt. They're waiting to celebrate with us. They're waiting to rejoice. And all we have to do is remember that we've got some. Got some. How many of you ever had somebody show up at your house unexpected? And you say, well, let me run to the store. I'll be right back. And you run out and you get stuff. Amen. Okay, some of y'all ain't never had company. But if people show up and you don't have it, you go get it. Okay, let's go look, let's make it a little closer. Those of us who run a household, who are in charge of the sustenance and supply, you know you gotta go to the grocery store. Folk down south say they go make grocery. They don't say they go to grocery, they say we're going to make grocery. That's good if you can make grocery, that's good. But you go to get what you need so you'll have it so you can do something. You can't make a meal if you don't have no food. You can't cook without nothing. You know, you gotta know that as we down south say, that fish ain't poultry and grits ain't grocery. Amen. You gotta have some stuff. And God has thoroughly equipped each one of you. You are the workmanship of God, and you ought to know that you can do productivity because God has already given you your possession. Look at the name and tell them, you got something there. Even though it takes a while, mark this moment in your time. Mark your calendars and know that even if it takes a while, in fact, the scripture said, though it may seem delayed, it's going to happen. Amen. How many know that delays don't mean you've been denied? Amen. There are some things. How many of you got some stuff on your prayer list? You've been praying a while. You've been waiting for some stuff. Amen, amen, amen. Every hand should have went up. Every one of us have got to learn, like Isaiah says, to wait on the Lord. But while you're waiting, you got to be encouraged. You got to keep your strength. You got to keep your wits about you, because there are some things that just take a little while. How many of you have been on that it takes a little while train? It took you a little while to get here. Took you a little while to pay that bill off it. Took you a little while to find the right person to love it. Took you a little while. But you kept on trying, didn't you? You kept on pressing. You kept on getting up in the morning. You kept picking them up and putting them down. You kept reading your books. You kept buying ink for your pen and sharpening up your pencil. You kept going to class. You kept trying. You kept trying. And you kept trying. And you kept trying. And then one day, they called your name. One day you heard the music. One day you marched across the stage. One day somebody said, you finally finished. Yep, I've been a student all my life. I'm 75 and finally got my GED. Thank you, Jesus. But you kept on trying. And those of us who are in the body of Christ, the same way you kept trying in the world, trying to get world accomplishments, you got to keep trying to get some of that God stuff done. Look at the name and say, keep running your race. We need some old saints. Need some seasoned saints. Need some folk who've been around and know a little something. One thing I have a problem with these millennials, they think they know everything. They don't know nothing. They just think they know stuff. It's them old saints that know stuff. They know stuff like a stitch in time saved nine. They know stuff like a penny earned is a penny saved is a penny earned. They know look both ways before you cross the street. Old folk know that kind of stuff. Amen. Old folk know that you got to sleep with one eye open. No, young folk don't know no stuff like that. Young folk just spend everything they got. Old folk, man, you gotta have a little jar, a little bread and butter money hid somewhere where Herbert can't find it. That's how you know that you got some wisdom, because you know something. Look at the name, tell you don't know nothing like that. Bible says God has made us wise. We have the mind of Christ. Everybody got something. You got a gift. You ought to be proud of that. Amen. He said, listen, I want you to understand that you got to live your life so that it's worthy. Amen. Some of us disciples went up to Reverend McElroy's home going Friday, and I intended to bring the program pictures, and it's all kinds of pictures. Looked like he lived four or five lifetimes. Pictures of everything, old pictures, you know, back in the day, and the stories, and to stand around and listen to people talk is a well-lived life. Some of y'all, we do your funeral program, it's going to be like this. You know, that's it. Name, date of birth, and the day you left here. That's all we need. We don't need no big old, but you ain't live no worthiness. Tell your neighbor, live worthy. Do something. Make an impact. Make a statement. Let your light so shine so that people will say, "Whoa, look at what you're doing." Let me get to be a part of that, because Paul says, I want you to live a life that's worthy of your calling. Not one more person tell him, we almost finished. But God didn't cheat you. Tell him, God didn't cheat you. He said right here, he said, you've been called by God. I can hear trumpets playing. I hear the band firing up. You've been called by God. That ought to mean something. Sitting around here trying, they don't never let me. They don't never ask me to do nothing. We don't ask you to do nothing because you don't never act like you want to do nothing. You got to look like you want to do something. Amen. Amen. In the parable, when Jesus hired, he tells a story about those men who were hired all day. They were hanging around a place to get hired. Yeah. They didn't say, well, I'm going on home, sit down and watch TV. They stayed in a place where opportunity just might happen. Yes. Not one more name tell me, just might happen. Look at another name and say, you might make it happen. Amen. Some of y'all got happening written all over you. Yes. It's right in the text. He said, you've been called by God. Everybody in this room has a gift. Amen. Verse 7 summarizes it. He said, listen, each of us, if you're breathing, you got a gift. Amen. Still alive. Which breathing is an important component of living. Amen. You got a gift. You don't have to envy anybody else's gift. Here's what Paul told the church at Philippi. He said, be confident. Yes. Of what? Of this very thing, that God, who has begun a good work. Yes, sir. Let me tell you why the church should always be happy and always rejoice in it, and why we ought to always be celebrated, because we are constituents of a good work. Yes. Yes. I thought I'd get more amen. Paul said, listen, God started that thing. And watch this, this is what I love, Jasmine, that Paul says that God is faithful to finish it. Yes. Yes. Amen. How many of you have been around folk that start stuff and don't finish nothing? Isn't that kind of frustrating? Isn't that disheartening? You know, got a wall built about this high, got one half window in it, a door laying over there, got a whole other pile of bricks over yonder, got half the driveway done, got the trusses for the roof. And you say, how much longer? Well, I'm working on it a little at a time. When you started, 62. No, 18. Live long and prosper. But you know, you isn't that frustrating? Yeah. You know, I was driving by the other day and I looked over there at the, I was on, Fifth Street, where they put that new medical thing over yonder. I said, my God, it looked like 2 weeks ago it was just an empty parking lot. I said to myself, man, if church folk work like that, yes, sir. Yes. Man, they were going there and they were over there, beep, 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 beep. You heard all kinds of sound. And sometimes it's just too quiet in here. Yes, sir. I feel like this, Jess. If you're going to back up, at least put one of them alarms on you so we'll know you're backing up. Yes, you ain't going to help us. If you're going the other way, let us know you're backing up. Yeah. Beep, beep. There go Madeline. Beep. Oh, there go Yvette. Beep, beep. At least we know you're backing up. Yes, we try and go forward. At least we know you're backing up. Amen. But you gotta understand that God wants us to finish. Yes. Now here's the key component. You gotta start.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We've already established that you have a purpose.
Yes.
We've been called to do good works,
yes,
evangelize, to witness, and to share the gospel. We have the position.
Yes.
We have been lifted.
Yes.
God has elevated us.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We sing about it.
Yes.
Lift it up high, lift it up high. And that's where we are. And we can better survey,
right,
because we're elevated. Yes. We're on a wall. All of us have a wall somewhere. And then we understand that our performance is necessary.
Yes.
That men will see. You know, people watching us.
Amen.
My grandmother said they watch you like a hawk watch a chicken. Well, poor chicken. Once a hawk see you, you're pretty much done. But people are looking at us and they're saying, what is Brookville doing? Been on that corner all them years. What are they doing? Are all of their works only for themselves? Are they only doing internal works? What is their statement to the world in which they are called to serve? Who are they feeding? Who are they helping in education? Where is their ministry? Where is their outreach? Y'all looking at me? Tell you, be watching us. There are some people who think we are the got it going on church around here. And I'm telling you, they oh, Brookville, y'all. I told a couple of deacons and Ms. Scott, I met the former pastor at Reverend McElroy's funeral. Never met Reverend Wilson. Didn't even know who he was. He was the officiant. In fact, he was the first guy I talked to when I got to the service. I asked him, I said, there's a place for all the preachers. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. He said, no, Doc, I think they just going to all gather inside. So that's why y'all saw me in that hallway sweating with all the other preachers. And I did what I was told. He said, well, go in there and just, I said, okay. And I stood there. And when we got outside, and I was getting ready to walk by him, you know, and I said, listen, man, I the only reason I stopped to talk to him, I said, where's that restaurant that Carl was talking about? Because I'm hungry. He said, Doc, it's up and such and such. He said, you know, I preceded you in ministry. You know, that's kind of like saying me and your wife used to go out. I want more information. I need more than that, buddy. So I said, really? He said, I'm Rep Wilson. And so I need more. I said, oh, hey, Doc. I said, we need to talk. He said, yeah, man. He told me, y'all got it going on. He said, man, you've done what I could not do. I said, Rep, what did they tell you I did? He said, man, I didn't stay, but he said, I whistled in and whistled out. He said, well, Doc, they tell me you're doing a great work down there. I said, yeah, we need to talk. You need to encourage me. But people are watching us. We do have a reputation, whether you know it or not. It's really up to us to either validate it or make a correction so it is validated. We got all these gifts. All these talented people. All of these anointed people. And we cannot sit around and talk about yesterday.
Amen.
We can't keep planning and never put into action. God has thoroughly equipped us. And he who begun a great work in you wants you to finish the work. Look how everybody folding up their arms and holding their head down saying, oh Lord, he finna throw something at us. No. He said, listen, It has to go on, watch this now, not until the next pastor comes or goes.
That's right.
Not until you get tired. Not until you don't think it's necessary anymore. How long, Vicky? Until the day of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Nudge the neighbor and say, we got a long way to go.
Long way to go.
You're too talented, church, to not take what God has given you and become productive. You ought to be ashamed of yourself if year after year we keep looking at the same results. If our budget line is the same, if our discipleship looks the same, if our outreach has not had a greater impact year after year, all we're saying is, well, we all right. Who gonna die next? Productivity requires that you take your possession, bring it to a level of performance. Understand that God has put me here.
Amen.
And this is what I got to do. And while I'm praising God, we're all praising God because we're all doing good works. We're all looking around on the A-list. We're all getting blue ribbons and all of us on the red carpet. That's why we're not jealous or envious of each other. God has started it. God will structure it. God will sustain it. God will strengthen it. God will support it. God will make sure that nobody destroys it. What the Bible says, you're laboring the Lord. Only three of y'all do that? Maybe that's why y'all lazy. Let me say it again. Your labor in the Lord.
Yeah.
Paul told church, he said, know this, that your labor of love, that which you've done because you love him. Maybe that's the question I would ask.
Yeah.
Do y'all love him?
Yeah.
That wasn't everybody. Do you love him?
Yeah.
Then go to work.
Yeah.
Find you something to do. My grandfather, Sister Davis, you say that to me. Don't make me find you nothing to do. Because you ain't going to like it.
Right.
Granddad said, I'm going to give you a chance. Now I'm going to go around the corner and I'm going to come right back. But you better be busy. And he ain't had to worry about it because as soon as he turned that old big hog head of his, I was redoing the shell, had a mark in my back pocket, switchblade in my hand. I was multitasking. He said, now you really think you're fooling me now, don't you? I said, but I'm busy. Find you something to do. Pray about it. Go home this evening and don't let the devil steal your joy.
That's right. Amen.
Stop listening to the devil that Brookville don't need you.
Amen.
Stop making the excuse that you're an outsider. Uh-huh. All of us are outside.
Amen.
God wants you. And the day of completion is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You got to work while you have the light of day. Yes, but what are you doing? You should be productive.
Yes.
You shall know the tree by the fruit that it bears.
Yes.
No, nobody should be looking at you old and rusty, been around the church all these years, and don't know what kind of tree you are. They don't know what kind of capabilities you have. No, nobody knows when your next season is coming. It's spring now. All of us should be looking like we're blooming.
Yeah.
All of us should be leafy now and looking like something's coming up. We ought to be looking and say, ooh, look at that.
Yeah.
All of us, not just the young people. We can't put all this on the young people. And the young people aren't going to learn anything if they haven't had anybody to be their proctor.
That's right.
Or their mentor or somebody to show them.
That's
right. But all of us now should be ready. Prime. I'll be looking at us saying, ooh, I can't wait till them apples come, and oranges, and peaches, and plums. And something on your tree. What kind of tree are you? Some of us ought to be disciple-making trees. Some of us ought to be outreach trees. And some of us ought to be feed people trees. I know it doesn't make any sense. But the Bible said, behold, I'll show you a mystery. God will do anything with anybody. Not your name. Can God use you? What they say? Don't touch me no more. He said, one more touch. That's fine. Can God use you? I'm done. I only got one more thing I'm saying. I'm done. Why not? Why not? I mean, you got it. It's right in the text. The Bible don't lie. Everybody has a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. Why not? Will we look like this next year? Some of us may not even be here next year. But what are we going to look like next Sunday? What are we going to look like in five? What do we look like by the time homecoming comes? Why not? Will we still be talking about what we got in the planning stages, where we might go next year, and what we might fix up? Somebody around here got to have an idea on how to serve God better. I mean, it ain't, don't leave it up to the pastor. Don't don't sit around thinking somebody else thinking it up. And let's come to the next meeting and five people say the same thing. So, Pastor, I got an idea. I know how we can fix that. I know how we can reach out over there. Why not?
Amen.
The God you serve,
yes,
will give you anything, yes, that you ask for, yes, according to his will. Yes. Question is, what are you going to ask for? Are you going to ask God to bless us in this area or that area? Or are you just going to go home and ask God for something else for you? How about asking for something for us? Go home this afternoon. Instead of just saying, Pastor, let us out before 12:30. Maybe I'm giving you more time to do something before 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not? And what's it going to be? What group are you going to assemble yourself, align yourself with, make an alliance with, that you can say, you know what? Let's fool him.
Yeah.
Let's show him that he ain't that smart. Let's show her, let's show them that what they did back then, we're going to outshine them now.
Yeah.
We're not going to just stand on the shoulders of our elders for the rest of our lives. We're going to build some new monuments.
Yeah.
We're going to push this thing a little higher.
Yeah.
Lord, look at us. He'll say, well done.
Amen.
Why not? You got to give. Do something with it. He said that everybody's got it. Because God has been generous.
Yeah.
Bind yourselves together. Work on it together. All the same body. Well, why would you cut off your hand? What if old folk always say, Sandra, don't cut off your nose to spite your face. There's too many things in that I never want to do. First of all, you got to have a lot of courage to stand and hold the thing to cut it with. I ain't got that much courage. Then the pain has got to be kind of something. Well, you know, cutting off my nose. Why I don't like my face? You do know without that nose, you're going to have a worse face.
Yeah.
You know, that's silly stuff. But I'm just saying, you gotta realize that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
You don't need to hate on nobody. You don't need to not loving everybody. Love people, and people will love you back.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Teddy Pendergrass said, Jess? It's good loving somebody when somebody love you back. Not 70-30, not 60-40, but 100-100. 50-50 ain't good enough. That leave half somewhere else. I want 100-100 love.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And your neighbor, might be your husband, might be your wife, might be a stranger, I don't know, might be your son, your daughter, could be your grandchild. I don't know who's sitting by you today. But you ought to work with them. And then work with the one behind you. Tap the one on the shoulder and say, me and you going to be working together. And look back and say, you don't. Tell him, say, you heard the pastor said, we going all in this thing together.
Yeah.
Got to learn how to work with everybody.
Yeah.
Look at some of y'all looking. Some of y'all looking around and see who behind you. Amen.
Amen.
We all in this together.
Yeah.
It's one brook. You know why? Because there's one Lord.
That's right.
One Lord. How are you going to convince me that God operates differently just because it's you?
Yeah.
One Lord.
One Lord.
Yes.
One faith, and faith is critical.
Yeah.
We need each other.
Yeah.
And we need to stop acting like we're dumb.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't hear nobody alarm go off, so I did all right. They told me they were going to set the alarm. See what I'm saying? This is 20 years of being a pastor, and I'm still right in the danger field. I don't get no respect. But I'm serious. I just wanted to say that to you. Productivity. Why? Because you have it. Stop acting like you ain't got something. I know, Mr. Scott, don't pass it. Stop, you know, stop pretending. Stop shadowing and hiding. I ain't going up there. I ain't going to do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you must. We're going to die if you don't do it. Our life is in your hands. What happens in this ministry is up to us. Stop looking across town and asking yourself, well, how they do it and we can't. They did something that we ain't doing.
Right.
What? They worked together.
Amen.
They supported each other. They gave their time. They gave their time. They gave their talent. They embraced the work of the kingdom.
Yeah.
We were down in the country about 2 years ago now, down yonder with some of the Starling people, down that long winding road, and come over here and boom! They got a cathedral. We went there 2 years ago. They had a storefront. I looked at the pastor. I said, how you gonna do this? He said, well, Doc, you know, we just all pull together. I said, how many folk you got here? He said, well, you know, you might have 100, 130, 140 out. I said, I need to sit down. He said, well, Doc, you know, if the folk pull together, I said, I need to sit down. Didn't y'all see that beautiful church? All the way home, I couldn't even enjoy my own preaching because I was mad. I'm standing in the man pulpit thinking, can we have a coup and take their church? It was beautiful, and they did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of y'all been down there. What's the name of the church? It's Fairview. They left a little small church to make preachers like me feel bad so we can see it. I said, man, they have classrooms. They're in the middle of nowhere. We on the main drag. They ain't got no more than we got. You know what they have that we don't have?
Faith.
Now, I don't know some of y'all saying, yeah, we do got faith. You got wrong sides.
Yeah.
Y'all need to supersize y'all faith. We are too needed in this community. Too many lives in jeopardy. If we don't do this work. To just live by faith. And to each has been given a measure of faith. One more thing, we're done. Let me watch this. See. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Don't you think it's about time that you measure up? To each has been given a measure of faith. So don't you think, don't we all agree that it's time for Greater Brookville Church to measure up? Thank you. I see a few heads nodding. That's all I needed. I just needed somebody to agree with me. I know I'm crazy. I know my medication ain't working like it used to. But for God's sake, if I'm going to be foolish, it's going to be about this. I really believe that all it's going to take in the next 6 months, we can go crazy in ministry.
Yes, sir.
And the good kind of crazy. We can change some lives with our young people. We can do something with our seniors. We can make an impact in this community in any area we desire. You know why? Because we got God. We got God. Okay, thank you. Some of y'all hearing it. Listen, I'm telling you, the Bible says nothing is impossible to them that believe.
That's right.
And to them that believeth, God is so simple. It's nothing hard about God. It's like it's 1, 2, 3, ABC. And know this, we're not the first ones to walk that way. He said there's a great cloud of witness. That show us it can be done.
Yeah.
Abraham didn't never rob no bank. He never lacked for anything. David didn't knock off Fort Knox. But when he brought everything he had. Jesus told him, the foxes have holes. The birds have their nets. And he said, I'm all right though. I'm fine. Wow, I trust my Father.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. If you're in this room, let's stand on our feet. We're gone. And don't nobody alarm you to go off. If you're in this room and you've not accepted Jesus Christ and have not accepted an assignment from God, if you have need to return to Him, if you're looking for a church home, if you just want to refresh, you just want to rejuvenate your life, then our doors are open to you. In fact, what we'll do is if you decide to come today, you just make your own testimony to God. You say whatever you need to say, and we'll just be quiet. But I believe that it's time for us to measure up. Where's our next preachers going to come from? Where are our next deacons? Where are our next evangelism ministries going to stem from? Who's going to feed the next hungry person? When are we going to reboot the clothing ministry? When are we going to go down to the jail and there's nobody there? Because we have done our works. When are we going to look out among ourselves and say, you know what? I need a replacement. I'm getting older now. I want you to start learning to do. You have a gift. And don't just make worldly things your accomplishments. Yes, be good on your job. Be top notch. But don't be way up there in the world and not even start in the church. You know, on your job, you got all these plaques and mementos on your wall. So much so your wall's starting to sag. But in the church, only thing on your wall related to the church is your certificate of baptism. You haven't done anything else in the body of Christ since you got baptized. And it's turning yellow. It's going to happen. But on your job, you've gone to the next training and the next training. And every other Sunday, you say, Pastor, I can't be there. I'm going to training. I won't be back till Monday. And you're doing all you can to be who you are to the world. But how about God? Because you do know when you die, all that stuff coming off that wall. They're going to run in there and get Deacon Walker company to paint it, patch up all them holes, and the next person going to come in. And they're going to soon forget you. But the Bible says our names have been written in the Lamb book of life. And God will remember your faithful work. How about we give God something to remember, Brooklyn? How about we give God something to commend us for? These are they. Anybody want to be one of them? Come on, Bishop. Find something to do. Create a ministry. I ain't got no at Brooklyn. That's why I left. Create one. That's why God sent you. Because we didn't have one, he sent you so we could have one. You can't just nurse the baby either. You got to nurture it. You know, I don't mind babysitting, but them people go home. But we can't do that in the church. We can't just say, well, I do this, but I don't have. No, we got to bring that thing all the way up. You have a gift. Use it. Heads about. Father in heaven, we thank you. But Lord, we recognize that we have a gift. Pastors made it clear, and we agree, we saw it in the Word, that it's everybody. I thought I was left out, Lord, but I'm just a victim of my own circumstance. I wasn't trying hard enough. I wasn't committing. I was sitting back waiting on somebody else. I was throwing rocks and hiding my hands. But Lord, I decided I'm going to measure up. Now, Lord, I realize this prayer may not be touching everybody, but I'm going to put it out there because we need everybody. No, nobody's too old. Nobody's really too young. We're talented people. He ascended. He gave gifts. Gave them to men, to us. No church is more talented. No church is more resource gifted than we are. They have just decided to do something that we now decide we're going to do. We're going to pull together, not pull apart. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to run along side by side. We're going to support and pray for one another. And we're going to get over old days and bad feelings and misunderstandings. Because a house divided just cannot stand. It's not going to happen. So God, start with me, that I can then get myself together with your help. That's what the Holy Spirit's there for. And then, Lord, I'm going to remember to forgive folk and to love folk. And I'm not going to hold any animosity anymore. I'm going to Let yesterday's stuff be yesterday's stuff. Because I know everyday folk might do something, but at midnight, I'm going to start all over again. For myself, for my sanity, for my servants, for my strength, cut down on stress. I'm going to look forward to next Sunday, next Wednesday, next Thursday. I'm going to look forward to next outreach opportunity. Doesn't matter who's on the team. Doesn't matter who shows up, because I'm going to be at peace with everybody. Lord, you're going to be proud of me. It's going to be a new me. Because I'm going to charge myself more responsibly. I'm going to be more competent, more committed. I got something special. I'm going to make the best of it. And Lord, I'm going to pray for my neighbor. I've been touching people and saying stuff to them throughout this service, and I'm going to hold them accountable for what I said. I asked them when. I asked them what they have. I told them they had something. Somebody told me I had something. And I'm not going to let them forget, and pray they don't let me forget that I'm gifted. I'm going to say, ooh, wee, every now and then. I'm going to say, ooh, good luck. I'm going to say, congratulations. I'm going to get the guile and bitterness out of my speech. I'm going to learn how to smile and mean it. I'm going to learn how to show up ready to go to work. I'm going to listen to the vision, mission, make note of it, and hold myself accountable to it for my sons and my daughters. For my wife, my husband, for my family, for the stranger. Somebody's going to walk in here one day looking for a ministry-driven church. We don't want to let them get away. So use us. Use me. I think I'll remember Ephesians 4 and 7. I think I'm going to highlight it. So whenever I'm feeling some kind of way about the ministry, I'm going to go back and remind myself, thus saith the Lord. And however is a game changer. God, I thank you. Lord, we pray for the Reverend Lacey Allen. We pray for Tim McCoy getting better day by day. And the process is going to be quite lengthy, but we encourage the family. Pray that they are encouraged. They'll encourage each other. We pray, God, for those who are sick among us. Some of them pressed their way in today and said, well, I'm just going to go. I don't feel all that well, but I'm going. And so we encourage them and we celebrate their tenacity. And we pray for our young men and women on college break and got another semester or two to go, and very proud of them to know that when they came home on break from college, they didn't take a break from the Lord. They came to worship you and show their thanksgiving. Know their families are proud, and certainly, Lord, we share with them in that celebratory state. We also pray for this country. So much is happening, Lord, all over the world. Suicide bombers, folk running people down in cars and with tractor trailers and throwing children off platforms and shooting it out with the police in the middle of the day. There's so much is happening. The world has turned on its ear. But God, we know that you are still in charge. So we pray for this president, senators, and congressmen, governors, mayors, and elders, supervisors. The political game is a game. But the government rests on your shoulders. So, God, we will respect our government, but we sure going to hold them accountable. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this day, for healing our bodies and making us feel a little bit better about ourselves. For we know we're forgiven. Our sins have been washed away. But Lord, don't let me forget that I got a job to do. I've been called by God. I got to walk worthy. So I'm going to gird up my loins and hold my head up and throw my shoulders back. Stick my chest out. Stop dragging my feet. Stop whining and complaining. going to be a change agent. Make it happen. Let your name be glorified. You can have all of me. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, thy will be done. Thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, forever. God bless you. Go in peace. Shake somebody's hand. Hug them. You might get home and find somebody in your driveway trying to